This is called Unwrapping the Presence, and we're talking about the presence that is behind all things, the intelligence behind everything, that when you go seeking, and if you really decide you're going to keep going down the rabbit hole, you're going to find that there's something underlying everything that's going on in our lives. And there's only one way to find it out, and that is really through ourselves, through our own experiences, through our own introspection, through our own personal story, through our own feelings in our body. Because our feelings are going to tell us when we're in alignment with our truth and when we're not in alignment with our truth. We're going to feel it in our bodies. Our experiences are going to tell us the ones that seem to flow easily versus the ones where we have to fight so hard are telling us something. Our doors closing are always a door opening. So when I think about how we got here as Harmony Fellowship, as many of you know the story, I was at another church, things were going well, the door got closed on me and all of us, and here we are today. And without that door closing, we would not have a place that reflects who we really are versus a paradigm and a program and a procedure for how it's done. And so at the time when something like that happens, you're devastated. Your personality is going, oh my gosh, this is the end. This is, what do I do now? And what you do is stop looking at what just happened and turn around and see the door that's in front of you. To get the message that you thought you needed this to be happy, to do your life. You thought you had to rely on that, but you just learned something brand new about yourself. There's so much more in you than you had any idea. And you actually get to choose this thing called free will. Which story will I live in? The one where that's it, it's over, and I go home and I lick my wounds and I go find a job someplace, or I go crawl in bed and eat pizza forever, or I get some Falstaff and make it go away. Or I listen to something inside of me that urges me and says, get up and get moving. Move where? Keep doing what you've been doing. How do I do that? You put one foot in front of the other. You just keep following and see what comes up in front of you. And you say yes when it comes up in front of you. And you take a risk and you say yes. And you find what it is you got from that last experience, what gifts it gave you, that you can bring forth to the next experience. Because it's a lot of what we've learned, but also that we want to take with us, and what we learned that we do not want to take with us. It's traveling lighter. It's living in the present moment. It's seeing the gifts that are being held out to you, and it's also exposing the story that was wrapped around you, wrapped around your heart, that first quote, all those layers wrapped around us, all those stories wrapped inside of us that tell us this is as far as we can go. And these things that seem to explode, that didn't go the way we thought we wanted them to go, is actually removing a layer. And you can run back and try to wrap yourself in it again. But on some level, you know you're actually doing it. So when we are unwrapping the presence, when we're trying to understand what God is, what intelligence is, what love is, whatever you want to call it is, today we're calling it the presence, you simply need to look at your own life, because all the teaching is in there. It's all going on all the time. The wisdom is always there. It's always talking to us. It's always being exposed to us. And it's not something that comes in the afterlife. Oh, I'm going to meet God in the afterlife. Or, oh my gosh, I'm not going to meet God in the afterlife. I ended up somewhere else entirely different than I thought I was going to end up. So that's not going to happen, okay? But it was interesting because I am a divine science minister, but we're not attached to a dogma here. We are open to just truth coming in its many ways. But somebody from Divine Science asked me to read a book that he's in the process of writing, and it is by Melinda Kramer, who actually started up Divine Science. And it's very interesting to read it because one of the criticisms she gets from people is that when she's teaching, you're taking away my devil. You're taking away hell. You're taking hell away from people. And that was really seen as a really bad thing. And, you know, then people won't strive to be good if you take hell away. And I remember that was one of the things that when I first started up Harmony Fellowship and my nephew came in, who's a priest in the Church of England, he came into St. Louis and I was with all the Catholics down at an Irish bar. And well, that's where Catholics go. You know that, don't you? Okay, drinking beer, having a nice time, a really nice family get-together. I hadn't seen him probably in about 10 years, you know. And I was like, oh, this is great. But I had a feeling that I was going to possibly be in for something because this was new. I started up this thing. I had a website. They could read what I was about. And I was going to gather with them. But that particular day, I had talked to a musician about doing the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow and doing it in the Polynesian style, the other style of doing it, which is really wonderful. And we're actually going to have a musician doing that in a couple weeks here. But anyway, I was talking to her about it. I was driving down Gravoy, and there's huge rainbow, complete, beautiful, bright. And I thought, that is really odd. I'm talking to her on the phone, and all of a sudden there's this big rainbow, and I'm on the way here. And I felt as if it was like, you need to know there's a connection between your thoughts and your reality. You need to know I'm right here as you're about to go into this conversation, into this family gathering, which was really an intervention. I later found out. And I was taken aside and assured that what I was doing was wrong and I was leading people right to hell. I mean, those were the words, you know. And I was shaking when I got out of there. It was very weird when you have people that you love and you care about telling you that you're doing it all wrong. But it was a way of me just letting go of any residual stuff about going with a leap of faith, about really trusting that everything we need to know is given to us, and that I know that whatever is behind all this is all good. And that is an intelligence. And that intelligence does not create something to punish what it's created. And not only that, as you get close to the edge of that leap of faith of going off the deep end, not only that, that is what is in this body. That is what is, this is it. It is the creative activity. It is the creation. It is the creator. So when we read and sing the words of that first song, you are the voice of God. You are God walking around, manifested. But hidden in a camouflage, in a masquerade, with lots of things wrapped around, stories given to us, stories that we concluded just by looking at appearances. But the more we test it, the more we feel it in our own body, the way we can see it and feel it in our own lives, we can see that the things that once we thought were really terrible that were going on were the things that were asking us to shake off some old limited belief about who you are. And that's what a birthday really is. It's when you step up and now you're a new person here. You've integrated a new thought into yourself. You're not as fearful anymore. Your thoughts about life and death are changing. And you only see life. You know that what you are, the essence, the truth of what you are, cannot be harmed. And no one else can be harmed. It doesn't go away. We can wear clothes and animate the clothing. It moves with us as we move. But we take off the clothes and we leave them on a pile on the floor, and they're just a pile of clothes. That's true of our bodies, too. We come in and we animate them. The essence of what we are fills up every cell of it. And we take it off, but the essence is still alive, cannot be touched. But while we had that, we added to the stories of everybody else. We moved it along. We changed our world. We live in a much more loving world, and I don't care what the news tells you. I just know how much my world has changed since I came in here in 1970. No, that's not true. But so it has, it really has. People aren't hiding as much who they are anymore. People are merging with who they really love. And if somebody else is not okay with it, if they have limited stories about it, too bad. People are talking now about what happened in their life. They're seeing that the Falstaff beer that ended up becoming more and more became hidden bottles in our family, became a mother codependent trying to find everything and keep them on the right track and hide what was going on from all the world. Who dressed us up on Sundays and took us to church, and we looked like the perfect family. The family who never even talked amongst themselves about what was going on. And there were things going on. Those families are going away. And people are talking. And they're finding the thing that kept us separate was our silence. The thing that kept things going was our silence. And when it first came out, people were so afraid that people would not be compassionate and understand. And instead, they're finding so many people are compassionate and understanding because it's their story too. Of course, we live in a more loving world. Of course, we're more real and authentic now. Of course, we're going to feel the presence more because we're not hiding as much. But all of us have more and more to unwind, to let go of. And when we begin to see that this thing that just came up in front of me that I'm declaring is not so great may be the best thing that ever happened to me. It depends on what story I put on it. It depends on if I keep living in that story or if I turn around and see if some door got opened and if I'm not supposed to give more of who I really am. If I'm not supposed to be more honest and real. If I'm not supposed to be more joyful more alive without this story? What did it give me? What did it feed me? We meet others who live in the story and won't let go of their story. And you might say, well, that's terrible that they're living like that. They need to listen to what I have to tell them. I need to fix them. And that has always been very successful, as you know. Very successful fixing other people. When in reality, it gives you a chance to say, that's what it looks like when you choose that. And there's nothing wrong with the choice, but I don't want that. So everybody is adding. We are being supported in so many ways, but it just doesn't look like what our human eyes thinks it's going to look like. So if it doesn't look like what our human eyes think it should look like, then we go inside to feeling. And our feeling holds our answers for us. Has this energized me? Has this softened my heart? Has this made me feel more optimistic and alive? Has this made me feel more real? Does it help me relax? Does it bring me peace? That's where I need to live. And when I'm not in that place, it's simply a reminder, a wake-up call, to get back over to who you really are. So, as I finish this today, in this last moment, I want you to just really relax and ask yourself, who am I really under all of this? And I know that you know. Thank you.